Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. This is God's Word. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." And she added, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." The child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the maidservant into a nation also, because he is your offspring." Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down nearby, about a bow shot away, for she thought, "I cannot watch the boy die." And as she sat there nearby, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. At that time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, said to Abraham, "God is with you in everything you do. Now swear to me here before God that you will not deal falsely with me or my children or my descendants. Show to me and the country where you are living as an alien the same kindness I have shown to you." Abraham said, "I swear it." Then Abraham complained to Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized. But Abimelech said, "I don't know who has done this. You did not tell me, and I heard about it only today." So Abraham brought sheep and cattle and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a treaty. Abraham set apart 7 ewe lambs from the flock. And Abimelech asked Abraham, what is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs you have set apart by themselves? He replied, accept these 7 lambs from my hand as a witness that I dug this well. So that place was called Beersheba, because the two men swore an oath there. After the treaty had been made at Beersheba, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called upon the name of the Lord, the eternal God. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines for a long time. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, there's a lot in this chapter, but let's note several things. First of all, in the opening verses, the emphasis is on God showing mercy to Sarah. Prior to this point, it's been about how God is going to do this for Abraham. He's going to do this for Abraham. He's going to do this for Abraham. All of a sudden now, the fact that this is a great gift to Sarah is also brought in. God obviously could have given Abraham children in other ways. He had already had a child with Sarah's servant, Hagar. So it wasn't that Abraham was unable to have children, it's that Sarah was unable to have children. And in fact, in the previous chapter, when she was temporarily taken to be a part of the harem of another king, even though they never had any physical relations, God struck that man's family so that none of the women in his family were able to have children while Sarah was there. An interesting way in which they were dealt with by God. And when Abraham prayed for them, as God instructed, the thing that was lifted from them was the inability of the women to have children. This is a reminder that we all need to take to heart that children are indeed a gift from the Lord, and that the Lord is able to take away our ability to have children. He's also the one who enables us to have children. And please note that as hard as it is for us to imagine a 100-year-old man and his 90-year-old wife who's always been barren having a child, that just seems like it would take a miracle. That's precisely the point of the story. It was a miracle, and they knew it was a miracle. You and I need to understand that God is God. He has all power. He has all wisdom. And his timing is perfect. And he often doesn't do things in the expected way, because he has a plan and a purpose. And one of the things that he likes to do is to operate in such a way that people begin to recognize, well, there must be a God. Only God could do this. And that's what was happening here. And so they named their son Isaac. And Isaac means what? Means laughter. Because she says, everybody who hears about this is going to laugh. They're going to laugh with me. I'm laughing too. This is amazing. I'm a 90-year-old woman and I'm nursing a baby. And she nursed him for years. He was probably 2 or 3 years old when they had this big celebration to celebrate the fact that he's now being weaned from his mother. At the party, his older brother, half-brother, his older brother, Ishmael, begins to mock him. What does it mean to mock somebody? It means you make fun of them. I can understand where this mom, Sarah, was frustrated because she already felt awkward, and the underlying issue here is who's going to inherit from Abraham. She has watched year after year as another woman's son had her husband's affection, as that boy did various things that caused Abraham to say, that's my boy. And she now has a boy that she wants to be the prince. He's the one who's going to inherit. He's the one who's going to get it all. And we don't want this servant's son to be part of the equation. And so she comes to Abraham when she sees that older boy mocking her little boy. And she thinks, I don't want my son being bullied. And the easiest way to deal with it is just get rid of the other kid. She comes to her husband and she says, get rid of that woman and her son, because they are not going to share in our son's inheritance. Isaac is the one. And Abraham's distressed because he loves Ishmael. Previously, when God was promising him that he was going to have a son through Sarah, Abraham was speaking up on behalf of Ishmael. He loved that boy. That was his boy. And God, surprisingly, from our perspective, says, you go ahead and do what Sarah says. Send Hagar and Ishmael away. I'll take care of them. I will make of him a great nation. God says, please note the words, I will make him a great nation. God's going to do that. God's going to make that happen. Did you know that if God sets out to bless you, it's going to happen? If God sets out to do something for you, to make something of you, no matter what hardship you have to go through, God will preserve you and bless you, and you will become what God intends. That's worth noting. Because there are times when our circumstances are such that a lot of people, including we ourselves, would look and say, nothing's going to happen. Can anything good come from Nazareth? I mean, is it possible that this child could grow up to be somebody important? God is able to take Ishmael, the son of a servant, and let him be sent away when he's just an early adolescent, just a young boy. And he's being sent away into the wilderness with just his mom, no man to stand up for them. Talk about a single parent family. This is it. Abandoned by his father. And he grows up with just his mom. And God says, I'm going to make a nation of you. I will do it. No matter what you've been through, no matter what your circumstances, I want you to understand something. God can make something significant of your life if you trust in him.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit WVR.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit WVR.org today.
To step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, Abraham obeys the Lord, not his wife. When his wife said, do this, he went to the Lord, and the Lord said, do what she says. And so Abraham did it. He gave some camping provisions to his servant, his wife's servant, Hagar, put those things on her shoulders, and she sets off. Now, we look at this, and it seems odd, frankly, that she lays the boy down under a bush and goes off a little distance because she can't bring herself to watch him die. Why was he not the one who's saying, here, Mom, you lie down, I'll take care of you? I don't know what his situation was. I don't know if he'd been doing what a lot of adolescents would do, and that is running all around when mom's trying to walk like this, and he's running over here and running over there, and that's why he totally used up all of his energy and hydration. Don't know. But whatever the circumstances were, he's visibly at the point of death, and his mom leaves him because she can't save him. She doesn't have anything with which she can rescue him. She leaves him there so that while he's dying, she won't have to see it. And she goes over a distance, and she cries out to the Lord, and the boy is crying as well. And they've given up. This is a hopeless situation. Have you ever felt like that? I've met people at all different ages in that situation. I've met kids who felt like there's no point in living. I've got no future. I've got no hope. I've met young adults who thought the best thing they could do was to end their life because they didn't see any reason to keep on drawing breath. Everybody would be better off if I was gone. I've met old people who felt that way, middle-aged people who felt that way. It's a horrible thing to be hopeless. These folks felt hopeless, but their situation was not hopeless. And I've been so grateful to see people, young and old, rich and poor, find hope in the gospel so that they are still serving the Lord today. This mother and son were crying, and God heard their cry. God heard their cry. He heard that boy, that weak cry from that boy. Verse 19, then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She didn't just see a puddle. She didn't just see a pool. She saw a well. There's a well. What's the well doing out there? Wells are hard to come by. The rest of the chapter is going to be about what a big deal a well is. And here, in the middle of nowhere, with nobody around getting water from it, is a well. It's just right there they happened to run out of water, and it wasn't something they'd seen. Let me tell you, you'd know where there's a well. And they were there, and it looks hopeless, and God says, hey, I got a well for you. You think your situation's hopeless? It's not hopeless. I got more than you need. Not a little container of water. A well. A source. That's what God can do. When the circumstances one moment were hopeless and were dying, all of a sudden, I've got a future and a hope. God has given me more than I need. I'm able to get refreshed. My life is saved. I've got a future. God says to his mom, I'm going to take care of him. This is a boy who went from death to life because God provided. If you're a Christian, that's you. If you're a Christian, you had no hope. Apart from Jesus Christ, there is no solution to our problem. He's the only one who can forgive our sins. He's the only one who can take away our guilt. He's the only one who can reconcile us to God. He's the only one who can give us heaven instead of hell. And this young man is a picture of God rescuing us. God gave her eyes to see. God opened her eyes. Do you understand that apart from God's grace, you won't see it? John chapter 3, Jesus says, unless a person's born of the Spirit, they can't even perceive the kingdom of God. They can't see it. I've talked with people who were intelligent, educated people, completely unable to see the truth of the gospel until God took the blinders off their eyes. God is the one who enables people to see. It's his Spirit who changes us. And God enabled her to see. And she saw this well. She saw what was needed. And she received from God. So then, in the verses that follow, you got a quick little scenario. God was with the boy as he grew up. Did you hear that? Verse 20, God was with the boy as he grew up. It doesn't get better than that. If God's with you, you're in good shape. Okay? Doesn't mean you always feel good, happy, happy, happy. That's not always the way you feel. But if God is with you, then whatever your circumstances are, you have hope, you have strength, you have a future. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer and a great warrior. And while he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. Now beginning in verse 22, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, said to Abraham, God is with you in everything you do. Now swear to me here before God that you'll not deal falsely with me or my children or my descendants. Show to me in the country where you're living as an alien the same kindness I've shown to you. Do you see what he's saying? He says, Abraham, you're not just a smart businessman. It is clear that God is supernaturally blessing you. Here's a guy who can recognize that what's going on in Abraham's life is not just Abraham. There's this amazing thing, the favor of God. There is no substitute for it. God's blessing is what was evident here. And Abimelech says, I want you to be good to us. Now, Abimelech's a ruler. He's a king. Phicol's his commander. He brings his top general with him to talk to Abraham. And he says, we can tell there's something supernatural about your life. There is something that is not explainable by normal human means. The only explanation for what we see happening in your life, Abraham, is the hand of God. God is with you in everything you do. But I want you to see, as a result of this, the big thing they work out. They not only make this treaty. Yes, he says, I swear, I will not treat your people falsely. I'm not going to come in here and conquer all of you at this stage. Okay, that was the fear. It was like, you know, Abraham, you don't have a big enough army to stand up against our army, but we're getting nervous about your God. Okay? Because your God could wipe us all out like that. Yeah, good thing you know that. And so he says, please, don't hurt us. Now again, picture this. You got a king with an army saying to a nomad, we're scared of you. Why is that? Because of God. The big thing that's accomplished, that Abraham says, well, I'll tell you what I'd really like. I'd like my well back. We had dug a well. Your people took it from us. The king says, hey, I knew nothing about it until just now when you told me. We can make that right. And he says, well, I'm willing to purchase it back from you because I don't want there to be any debate. And so he pays for what was rightfully his already. Instead of using force to get it back, he buys it back and he says, now from now on, there's no dispute about whose well this is. Well, I think that's pretty neat. But I'll tell you what's neater. Hagar and Ishmael got a well without having to pay for it. And you know what it said? I read it to you. When Ishmael was growing up, God was with him. You may not be Abraham, but if God is with you, you got a future and a hope.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE.
or contact us on the web at wvr.org.